And welcome back to
Let's go. The Tuned In Podcast.
Andrew and Braden here.
Look at us.
Ready to get you your jazz fix for today during the summer. How are you feeling, Braden?
Oh, man, I'm feeling so good. I just moved. We were talking about that just a second ago. I'm in a good spot, so...
Getting your summer cleaning, getting everything sorted together.
That's right, getting back soreness from lifting heavy things. It's been nice.
Yeah, I guess what's like the peach or the pit of moving?
Oh, man. I will say a nice thing, the peach, I guess, is finding stuff. Like, you know how you move in somewhere and you put something somewhere and you're like, I'm going to use that. And then when you move, you're like, I never use that. It's good. It's good to remind yourself things that you have, you know?
Yeah, it's like, wait a minute. Like, all this stuff was in storage that I probably could use.
Yeah, and then pit, I guess, just getting used to new people is just hard, but, you know.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Doing good. Enjoying the summer.
Good, good.
Yeah, getting ready for school to come around pretty soon. It seems like for, like, elementary school, everything started this past week, so the kids are back.
Yeah, it's been
an exciting time.
Yeah, it's been great. We have a really exciting episode today, as per usual. We have lots of jazz stuff, jazz off-season stuff to talk about. We got a schedule. We got jazz players playing in leagues around the world. We got some trades. And then, of course, we'll talk about the NBA schedule and some extensions and teams being sold. And then we'll close out with our BYU quarterback battle discussion on today's episode.
Make sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms, Spotify, and Apple, and YouTube, wherever you can find your podcast. Give us 5 stars. And then as we get ready for next season, share with your friends, especially your friends that love the Utah Jazz, and we'll keep you tuned in with everything going on.
This is episode 80 of Tuned In Jazz.
Well, let's talk about the off season. Woo! It's been a couple of weeks. There, I think maybe you listeners have noticed we've been posting a little bit less frequently because we don't have as much news during the summer. But since the past 2 weeks, we've had a little bit of news here and there about some of our players.
I feel like this off season, like this, I think our second off season doing the show. I feel like this off season's been a lot more eventful than the last one.
Really?
Maybe it's because we've been doing less
trades.
Episodes.
Definitely more. I think last off season we were waiting for the trades.
That's true.
They didn't happen. This off season we're like, this was too late.
That's true. It just didn't feel like last off season we had a lot of players like playing in the off season. We kind of got a lot going on. So I don't know. It just seems more busy. But
yeah,
maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I guess a week ago or more. At least this is how it was for me. Just scrolling on Instagram, all of a sudden I see Lauri Markkanen broke the Finnish national record with 48 points in a game.
Yeah, he's balling.
It was just an exhibition game. Who was it against? Can't remember who it was against.
Yeah.
But it was not like a serious game. But dude, 48 points in any game is pretty impressive.
Yeah, honestly. It makes me wonder. So, you know, we've talked a lot about what the Jazz are going to do this year, if they'll keep the tank going, if they'll actually compete like Austin Ainge says we will. Like, if we are actually trying to compete, what's like the, do you think Lowry could do something to this extent for a whole season for the Jazz?
I feel like Lowry has shown that he can do that for a full season.
Sure.
But it might have been like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because this last off season, he took a step back.
Yeah.
So I'm still a believer in Lauri Markkanen. I think he could turn it up to where he could be a 23 to 25 points per game guy like he was in the past.
I could see him.
I don't know if you remember that most improved player year. It started out with Finland.
Yeah.
That's when he was hooping. Will Hardy was figuring out how to use him, and then that next season was most improved player. So I don't know. Whenever I see Lauri ball out in Finland, I'm pretty excited.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel. It's like, I do think that he started to struggle after that first season when teams started paying attention to him and double teaming him. And it's kind of hard when the Jazz don't have a lot of other weapons because Lowry just gets the whole defense on him, it seems like. But honestly, this is kind of making me exciting because I've always been kind of a doubter about if Lowry can be a number one option. But if he can play like this, I mean, he's scoring inside, scoring outside. I don't see why he couldn't be a centerpiece for us, so hopefully he could turn into that.
Yeah, no, the game was against Belgium, found that. Okay. And yeah, I mean, you're right. He scored, shot a lot of three-pointers, got a lot of like lobs and dunks and things like that. I will say it seems like the Belgium team's probably not as high of a competition.
Probably not.
So you take that into account. But still, 48 points against any national team is very impressive.
Yeah. Speaking of not high competition, if you're playing Bosnia, we got some bad news. And also as Jazz fans, Yusuf Nurkic, I guess he's training with Bosnia, playing with Bosnia right now. Bosnia coach said, let me see, get the exact quote. He said, Nurkic is out of shape and can barely run.
Ooh, so that's not what we want to hear.
I don't know personally, like wasn't expecting a lot from Yusuf Nurkic, but that is a little concerning because we're like, we did need a backup center. So yeah. I don't know.
Because I don't know, we've had the talk about Filipowski kind of being a power forward.
Yeah, definitely.
So then after that, I kind of want Nurkic to be our backup center.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know about this guy. We're paying him $19 million, but he's expiring. Do you think I don't know. We'll have to see at the beginning of the season, but if he's out of shape, I don't think Will Hardy's going to put up with that.
I don't think
so. He might
either.
Not play.
Yeah, I agree.
There's a good chance that maybe he'll start the first couple games coming off the bench, but if he just doesn't have it, I don't think Will Hardy will shy away from just benching him.
Totally agree. I also think that it's like we have a lot of young guys, and it's nice when you have like the Patty Mills in the locker room or even Jordan Clarkson, where you're like, these guys are going to show them how to be good professional basketball players.
Mm-hmm.
But if you got a guy that's showing up who can barely run, it's like, what is that teaching Ace Bailey or John Tanjay or whoever, you know? It's like, it's
maybe
kind of sad.
Maybe we lost our veteran leadership.
Yeah.
Walker Kessler's our veteran at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully we'll be glad that he is in Bosnia.
Yeah.
That maybe by the time he gets to the Jazz, he will be in better shape.
That's true, yeah. That's true.
Get all the wrinkles out right now.
Yeah, we haven't had training camp either, so maybe this is how all NBA players are. Like, I'm sure there's some that take a break. I think it was last season, Anthony Davis said he hadn't touched a basketball for months, and he's Anthony Davis, so, you know.
I mean, Yusuf Nurkic is no Anthony Davis.
That's true,
so
that's true. But
I think he's got to touch the basketball a few times.
I think so, yeah. I think you're right.
Well,
maybe we'll trade him for Luka, though. We could. We'll
see the Lakers might be, or maybe Cooper Flagg. The Mavericks might want to give him
that would
up.
Be on par for Nico Harrison, I think so. Keontae George played in Powder League. Those of you who aren't aware, Powder League's played, I think it's every summer in Orem.
Is it like a pro-am type of like, just like random players just come and play?
It's kind of like the Drew League and the, what's the other one called? Peach Jam that they have in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Like all those ones that the NBA players always pull up to in the summer and sometimes get injured at, Chet Holmgren.
Ooh, yeah.
But what was that? I think it was DeJounte Murray that was like taunting people. Do you remember those clips a couple of years ago?
Yeah. I also remember like Isaiah Thomas scored like
a
ton of points in one of those. Like maybe like at least 60 plus, I feel like he scored.
DeMar and LeBron, I think, pulled up to one, played together. DeMar DeRozan. So yeah, it's kind of cool. Powder League doesn't get nearly as many of those guys. Sometimes they do, but Keontae George went and played on the 6th, 5th, I think. Saw some clips. It seemed like he was playing well. He wasn't going too hard, which is probably good. But
yeah.
It's cool to see him in the community playing games. So
yeah, seems like a lot of like Utah.
Yeah.
Or Utah adjacent players, like either played at BYU or UVU or high school or something like that.
Yeah.
But it seems pretty legit. Good that Keontae's still working. And then I think maybe we'll talk about this. Jazz did make a trade in the past 2 weeks. It's kind of already settled down now where we're not really talking about it.
Yeah.
But we'll bring it up. We got Georges Niang.
Let's go. The minivan's back.
Let's go. Yeah, the minivan's parked back in Utah. but we really didn't give up much. We gave up RJ Lewis, who is our undrafted free agent.
Yeah.
I would call him like our third round pick in a way.
I forgot we took him, to be honest.
Yeah. So I don't think he played in summer league either.
I don't think so either.
So like he's never even suited up for the Jazz. He's already gone. So Forget yeah. about RJ Lewis.
Do you think it says more about Georges Niang's value or RJ Lewis's value? Because I was like, RJ Lewis is worth Georges Niang? Like, that seems like dang, Georges Niang must be really bad now. Like,
well,
I don't know.
I think to me, this is a salary dump trade for just the because. Celtics. Yeah, like you've seen the Celtics yeah. trade all their contracts.
That's true, yeah.
And if I had to guess, they're just trying to lower their salary just a little bit.
That's
and
true, yeah.
They didn't really feel like they needed Georges.
Yeah.
So we'll take him.
Yeah, you never know. RJ Lewis was playing up there in, I think, St. John's is in New York. Maybe he wanted to stay up there with, maybe he asked the Jazz to send him somewhere like that. But
yeah, I wonder, I don't know if Georges Niang is like talked at all to the press or like media.
Yeah.
I don't know how much he wants to be in Utah because he's been on a lot of pretty good teams. He's winning a lot on the Cavaliers. I think he got traded to the Hawks. They were looking mm-hmm. like they had the best offseason. So he was looking like he was going to win some games.
I think he was on that Sixers team that was the number one seed.
Yeah, yeah. When he was on the Jazz, we were the number one seed.
Yeah.
So like he's been a winner a lot. So I wonder if he will want to be on the Jazz when we're kind of in a rebuild. Yeah,
that's true. I do remember him talking good things about the Jazz from last time. But I also did see a couple of weeks ago when he first got... Did he get traded or signed to the Celtics? I can't remember. But when he first got to the Celtics, he's from Boston. And he grew up a Boston Celtics fan. And so he was like, I'm so excited to play for my hometown team. And
that's so depressing.
So it is kind
of
sad
like,
for him.
Actually, we need a lower salary cap. See ya.
Hey, sorry, that's, Georges.
Yeah, that's when you know the NBA is a business.
Yeah, it is. But I love Georges Niang. He had some great, played some great basketball here.
Honestly, I feel like the Jazz have gone through multiple Georges Niangs. Mm-hmm. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah.
Like, I'd argue Johnny Juzang filled that role last year.
Yeah, we had like guys like Jay Crowder was there and like kind of different.
Jay Crowder had a little bit more defense, maybe.
Yeah. I just meant like
the shooters.
The presence in the locker room, just kind of
okay.
energy guy that people like playing with, but yeah, you're right. I guess
I was talking more just a guy that shoots a bunch of threes and that's about it.
That's true. Jazz have had quite a bit of those.
Yeah, all three, no D.
Yeah.
I don't know. Georges can move his feet a little bit, but not too
I can
crazy.
See himself getting his way in the rotation this year.
Maybe probably. If Nurkic is really awful, we'll just have him be like our backup four and Phil Baskey at the five. I don't know.
True. Yeah, it'll be interesting. See what happens. But
yeah, but welcome, Georges. We're happy to have you, even if you don't want to be here.
I was at lunch with some people at work the other day, and the TV was on, and they were like, none of them were Jazz fans. They're like, who's Georges? Or I can't remember how to say his name, but they didn't pronounce it right. And I was
Niang.
I was like, it's Georges Niang. They call him the minivan. They're like, why do they call him the minivan? I was like, I don't know. It just looks like a minivan. I don't know how to describe it. It's like if you saw the dude, you'd know, you'd understand, I think.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude. Georges Niang. Well, NBA schedule's been released, especially the Jazz. Jazz have some, not too many national TV games, not surprising. I think people expect us to be at the top of the lottery again this year. So, but does anything stand out to you from Jazz schedule? Pretty run of the mill, but.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how excited I am for, like, I know they're trying to get us excited for, like, the NBA Cup games.
Yeah.
Which, to me, I feel like are just going to be more, like, I'll go to those games just to see the other court.
Yeah.
Like, that's not really the basketball being different, more just the aesthetic.
Yeah.
It looks like we have a couple games on Peacock.
Yeah.
Or NBC. So I guess that might count as a national TV game, kind of.
Yeah. The Jazz group in the NBA Cup looks tough, too, in my opinion. I don't know. I guess they probably are. We probably already talked about this, but the Thunder and Wolves is a tough pull.
Team could be the number one seed, probably.
Yeah, and I could see the Kings. Oh, the Kings are kind of in a rebuild, but they're
still
tough.
Better than the Jazz right now.
Yeah, the Suns probably. They're a big question mark. They had a good offseason, I thought, with the guys they drafted and stuff, but
Well, I mean, they also lost KD and Bradley Beal. So now they're kind of trying to figure out who they are again.
Yeah. And when we know in the past when they've just had to rely on Devin Booker, it's been not great.
Yeah. So who knows with the Suns? They could be awful.
Yeah. But either way, I don't think we'll be winning our NBA Cup group.
Yeah. The Thunder, if the Thunder's in there, that makes it kind of tough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That also kind of begs a question. I know sometimes I'll compare, it's hard to compare to other sports, but
yeah,
I'll try to just for a second compare to football. In football, there's a lot of rivalries in divisions or playoffs or different things like that. Do you feel like the Utah Jazz have any serious rivals?
Right now, I would say no, I wouldn't say so. I think I always like circle the Timberwolves games at this point.
That's what I was thinking
too. Just because I'm like, that's like the Jazz.
But why? It seems like we've been doing that for a while.
That's true.
I've gone to a couple of Timberwolves games and they get pretty good.
It kind of just feels like it's like they got Rudy, they had Joe, they had Mike. Well, they had Mike Conley and Nikhil Alexander Walker. And didn't they just sign somebody else from the Jazz? I'm trying to remember.
Well, they got Joe Ingles.
Oh, yeah, Joe Ingles.
And then they just signed Johnny Juzang.
Oh, Johnny Juzang. Yeah. It's like, man. So it's fun to see them play all those old guys. I think when I was a kid, I feel like the Jazz did have rivalries. Like when divisions were a bigger deal. Like I remember every time we played the Trailblazers with Brandon Roy and like LaMarcus Aldridge, it was like a big deal. And then there was like a couple of playoffs in a row where we played the Nuggets and they were in our division too. And we were like, we had a couple battles with them with Carmelo and AI.
Really?
I remember when I was a kid, those feeling like real rivalries, but I don't feel like those are rivalries for us anymore.
Yeah, I think they come and go a lot.
Yeah.
And then I know in the past we've watched like John Stockton's shot against the Rockets.
That's true.
And I think throughout the years we've had a lot of playoff series against the Rockets, like back in the 90s and 2000s.
The Bulls, I mean, we didn't really win much.
That was a huge two finals in a row. Of course, that's a rivalry back in the 90s with John and Carl.
Yeah.
So I think you're totally right. Like some of those rivalries kind of come and go.
Yeah.
And some of them maybe stick around longer. And then I also think for a while we had a rivalry with the Lakers.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I don't know what years you would say, but when Kobe was there.
Yeah. When
I was probably in elementary school, like in the late 2000s.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's really like any rivalries in the NBA right now that like ones that feel like rivalries still?
People force the Lakers and Celtics to be a rivalry.
Yeah.
We're kind of at this point, it feels like they're not necessarily rivals. But
historically, it probably is, but like right now, if I agree, it's like, doesn't
Yeah, feel. So I don't know. I'd say it's pretty safe bet to say Lakers and Celtics is a rivalry just because of tradition.
Yeah.
And I think the closest like actual rivalry that we're kind of talking about has probably been the Pacers and Bucks. You remember that game with the game ball for Giannis?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They've seemed to really be angry at each other. Like,
yeah.
Sometimes that's part of a rivalry is you don't like the other team.
I feel like that's the NBA, like at this point, it's more storylines than it is like team against team. Like if you see the games they do in opening weekend, I think it's Thunder and Rockets. It's like they have that storyline of Kevin Durant against the Thunder. And it's
they're trying to make as many of those as they can.
And it's like, you would think that, like, with how many times they met in the finals, it'd be Cavs and Warriors, but it's actually just LeBron and the Warriors. That kind of feels like a rivalry sometimes. Or LeBron and Steph.
Yeah. I would say that could be. Because they always put on a good show.
Yeah, and even with the Jazz, it's like, we had those little runs with Paul George and Joe Ingles. Like, that kind of felt a little rivalry.
I think that was pretty good, actually.
You had Dame Lillard and Paul George. Like, you had, to me, it seems more like storylines in the NBA than it does, like, teams, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of changed over the years, especially I think part of that has to be player movement, because I mean, if you're on the same team for 10 years like they used to, you'll kind of get used to playing your division and used to play your conference a lot more than when you flip-flop teams like now.
That's true, yeah.
And then also, it seems like guys just really didn't like each other in general back then. Now I'm okay with how it is now, where guys are more off the court. They're there's respect and they're kind of more kind. Yeah. Not like Michael Jordan, where he's like really just not talking to anybody.
No, it's funny too, because it's like the NBA. I was thinking about this the other day with Marcus Smart, how he's in the Lakers now and how weird that is to see. And it's like, if there really was like a Lakers-Celtics real rivalry, a player like Marcus Smart would never, ever go play for the Lakers. Like, it would be like Larry Bird would have never played for the Lakers. Magic Johnson would have never played for the Celtics. Those guys were like a real rivalry, you know? It's like, it's NBA has weird rivalry things that other sports don't have, I think, so.
Well, if we had to rank the Utah Jazz rivals, maybe
like all time or right now,
I'd say let's try all time.
Okay.
Maybe we could do like a top 3 to 5.
I think Bulls robbed us of our finals. They got to be up there.
I honestly think just because that was so big in the finals, I still want to see us beat the Bulls every year.
Yeah, me too.
So maybe that's number one.
Yeah.
It's the Bulls from the 90s.
I
would argue the Rockets could be number two.
Yeah.
Because like we played them when they had Hakeem, and also when they had when we had Boozer and them, it was like Tracy McGrady and
Yao Ming and all.
Yeah, and Yao Ming.
That's right. We did play a good series against them.
We took them to game 7, and so we've like played them in multiple eras, and then we played James Harden and them in the playoffs a couple times.
Yeah.
It seems like we played them so much throughout history that I'd feel like they could be up there.
Yeah. I would say it doesn't feel that maybe as much now, but I think Denver has to be there just because they're so close to us. It's like we're kind of share the Rocky Mountains here. You know?
Do you think there was a little bit of a rivalry even when we were in the playoff
bubble
with Jokic, and then we would kind of go back and forth with them with Murray and Mitchell, and
that's true. Yeah.
Then you talked about the Melo team.
Yeah, we played them in the playoffs a couple years in a row, I think.
I don't know. Would you put them above the Rockets?
Probably not.
No.
I don't know. Probably not.
And then where would you put the Lakers in there anywhere?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think the Lakers probably ever considered us a rival, but we
considered them.
We considered them
for sure when we had Deron Williamson.
Oh yeah.
We wanted to beat the Lakers so bad.
Put them at 4, and I don't know who would be maybe the Blazers or the
Blazers, maybe Spurs.
Oh, Spurs! There was a while I remember when I was a kid where the Spurs had beat us. Like they had a streak of beating us for like, I think it was like 7 or 8 years we had never beat them or something. And it was always like, man.
So maybe that's pretty too one-sided to be a rivalry.
But I remember it always felt like, man, we just really want to beat the Spurs. But I don't know if that would consider a rivalry maybe.
Or we talked about Minnesota. They could be up there.
Minnesota now, yeah, definitely.
That's like our 2020 rival.
Definitely, yeah.
So how about this? Maybe we put Bulls at number one.
Yeah.
Just because of Michael Jordan. Yeah. And then maybe put Rockets number 2, Denver number 3, Timberwolves number 4, and Lakers number 5? Or what do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, let us know what you guys think, maybe on the comments of the episode or wherever you can.
Yeah.
I think you can leave a comment on Spotify or Apple.
Absolutely.
But yeah.
Other national TV games. We got the Christmas Day games. You got Cleveland and New York.
Okay.
San Antonio and Oklahoma City, Houston and the Lakers, Mavericks, Warriors, Wolves, Nuggets. There's some interesting games in there.
I like Cavs Knicks because that's probably going to be the best two teams in the East.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, Celtics will take a step back this year.
Did you say Bron and Steph?
We got the Lakers are playing the Rockets on Christmas.
Oh, Lakers and so KD and Bron.
Yeah.
That's still pretty good.
That's exciting. The Warriors are playing the Mavericks, which is also it's like I don't think Kyrie will be back by then, but Cooper Flagg will be in full swing by then, and we'll see if Anthony Davis is playing, and you never know. But
and then what the Wemby was Wemby, there,
yeah.
right? Wemby,
Wemby
and Chet.
The Thunder. Yeah.
Do you think Wemby and Chet is a rivalry, or are they just forcing that?
It kind of felt like Wemby's rookie season, like it was that way a little.
But now that Wemby's just so good, it's kind of Wemby's just so much more talented at this point. I don't know if it is to me.
Yeah, it kind of feels to me a little like, I don't know if you remember like the Shaq Yao Ming rivalry. It was like weird because it kind of felt like Yao Ming was the only one that like made things difficult for Shaq. And it kind of makes me wonder with Wemby, not for the same reason, because Wemby's not like 400 pounds, but like Chet's the only one that can get his hands high enough to block a Wemby shot.
That's actually cool. I like that idea.
But that's sometimes I get that vibe from it a little bit.
It's like they're kryptonite.
Yeah, like they're the only guy hasn't Superman. Figured out. Yeah.
I like that. But yeah, I think all those games are hits. Is there like one that you think might be the most boring or...
I mean, I think that the Mavericks Warriors game has the potential to be, you just never know with like the Mavericks could just be Cooper Flagg at that point with Anthony Davis. You never know. And then I just don't think the Warriors are as good as, I think they're better with Jimmy Butler, but I still don't think that they're like a top team in the NBA personally. So I'm like, but they're the Warriors. So you have to put them
on Christmas. I mean, as long as Steph's on the team, it's going to be fun to watch.
That's true.
Yeah. I guess, I don't know if you've looked yet, but who would you guess are the teams that have the most national TV games?
Ooh.
Because there's actually four teams that are tied for number one.
Really?
Yeah, with 34 games each.
I would guess the Thunder.
Yes. Right, I'm surprised that was your first guess, though.
Well.
What the heck? There's not very many people in Oklahoma City. That's true, let's just say that.
It's got to be the Lakers, right?
Yep, the Lakers are up there.
Lakers, Warriors, probably.
Yep, the Warriors. One more team with 34.
And it's got to be the Knicks, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Four for four. Okay. Let's go. I see let's you. Go. So Lakers, Warriors, Thunder, and Knicks all have 34.
Yeah.
Then there's two teams with 28. I'm kind of surprised of one of these.
Is it like the Wolves?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go,
what
dude.
What the heck? How did you know? That was the one I was surprised about. They have 28.
I feel like Anthony Edwards, I don't know if anything else about the Wolves is exciting, but Anthony Edwards is the type of player that gets people to watch, I feel like.
Yeah, I usually do when he's on. They have 28. One other team has 28.
One other does. They got to go 6-for-6 here.
Just look back at the Christmas Day schedule there on there.
Oh, is it Cleveland?
It's the Rockets.
Oh, that was going to be my other guess.
That's a big market, and they got KD. So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, after that, the Nuggets have 26. The Celtics have 25. That's really low to me.
Yeah.
But Tatum's going to be out, so that makes sense.
Have you seen that, like, this is kind of a side topic, but have you seen that debate online about, like, what are the four major cities in the United States? Have you seen that? People have been trying to debate like what would you consider like the four cities? And it's like, it seems like it's pretty consensus that it's LA and New York. But then after that, it's like people are really like, some people say Houston or Miami or
I think Chicago.
Chicago's been another one.
Population wise, I think it is. But
yeah, Salt Lake. I'm just kidding. It's not Salt Lake.
So maybe Phoenix. People love Phoenix.
That's true. Arizona. Yeah.
Houston.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like, I honestly, you could say San Francisco. California just has a lot of big markets, but anyways, that's kind of an interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a couple teams that I'm surprised don't have as many national TV games.
Mm.
One of them is the Spurs. They only have 22.
Interesting.
I just thought last year, even though Wemby got hurt, when he was playing, he was the most exciting player in the league to me.
Yeah.
Where he's doing things that no one else can do. He's getting like 5 blocks a game. Maybe that's an overstate, but he was just doing things that I've never seen, and every single game was a highlight reel to me.
Yeah.
So I think, like, let's get the rest of the America to know about what Wemby's all about and give him a couple more games.
Yeah, honestly. I think their roster's getting really exciting, too. It's like they're getting up there. Let's see, how many blocks did he average last year? I gotta look this up now. It was 3.8. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not even that crazy. Yeah.
And he probably would have kept up that pace too, honestly, had he stayed healthy, but pretty crazy.
And then the Sixers only have 14, which I actually think is about right, because they usually have a lot more than that.
Yeah. They could, I honestly think they could be pretty good this year, but
the Pistons have more than them.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Only by 2 games, but yeah.
Weirdly enough, Detroit feels like a sports city, even though none of their sports are very good. So it's
yeah,
like,
Cade Cunningham's fun to watch.
Yeah, he is. Amen Thompson, or no, Asar?
Asar Thompson,
I can never remember which Thompson twin plays for which team, but yeah, he's pretty good too. Speaking of the Spurs, though, De'Aaron Fox signed a mass extension, 4 years, $229 million.
Big money.
I think he's worth that. But do you think this is a good signing for this, or a good extension for the Spurs?
I don't think it was a good extension for the Spurs because they have Dylan Harper and Stephon Castle. Devin Vassell, that's right. So they may not, depending on how those guys perform in the next year or two, they may not even need De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me.
That might be, because
we would love to have De'Aaron Fox on our team.
Absolutely.
So I don't know. I just feel like maybe it was a little bit too soon. Like maybe you could have waited to see what you had in the other guys first.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think De'Aaron Fox played really pretty well in those games. I think he only played 5 games for them.
Yeah.
And I like how he fits with Wemby.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if this means, if the Spurs are committed to De'Aaron Fox, that maybe they're not as committed to Dylan Harper or Stephon Castle. Because I don't think they can realistically keep all 3 too long. Because I think all those guys are like starter level guys.
Yeah. I think there was one point, like when Wemby was injured, was that his first year? No, I guess he got admitted through his first year. But there was a point where I thought Devin Vassell was like their best player, which isn't saying a lot because he had a pretty bad roster kind for a while. But
I feel like I forget about him all the time. Yeah,
they just have a lot of... But I would be surprised if he's on the roster by the end of the season, just because teams would probably trade for him and they don't need him, especially now.
Yeah, he's a good bucket getter if the team needs a little bit more of that.
Absolutely.
Maybe the Bucks could get him. I think that would be a great thing for them.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting.
Well, do you agree with me, or do you think the De'Aaron Fox extension's too rich for the Spurs?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think it's kind of it's a tough spot they're in, because it's like, did they really have a choice? I mean, they do need him now, I think. Like, I think they're ready to compete and just let those guys develop while they compete, but...
I guess you could trade him.
Yeah,
because if he still continues to play well, teams aren't going to care that he's getting paid that much. They'll still trade for him.
Absolutely. 4 years makes it it's hard to trade a guy with just a 1-year deal, because teams are like, we'll just get him in the offseason. But if you got 3 years left under contract or 2 years left, teams will send you some picks back or something. Sure. So I think right now it's not horrible, but 2 years from now it might be like, oh crap, we should have.
Yeah, it's right. It's just so uncertain. They don't really know what's going to happen. Well, talking about money, some NBA teams have been sold for some big money.
Yes, they have.
This, I don't know about you, but just thinking about $1 billion just blows my mind. It's so insane.
It's wild.
But the Portland Trail Blazers sold for $4.5 billion to change ownership.
Wow.
And apparently the new owner is going to keep it in Portland. I know that was a big topic of when the new owner did buy the Portland Trail Blazers, because they've been on sale for a while.
Yeah.
Would it stay in Portland? And it sounds like they're going to keep it there.
Yeah.
I think I'm happy that it's staying. I've liked watching the Portland Trail Blazers. I think the fans come out for them. They've had some good moments. I don't know.
We know that stresses Jazz fans too. I remember when the Millers were like Gail Miller was getting older, and we're like, oh crap, what's going to happen here? Like,
yeah.
And then Ryan Smith comes in, and it was just like a sigh of relief. This guy wants to keep him here. He likes Utah, you know? So,
yep.
But that wouldn't have happened with every other owner. So hopefully we understand how Blazers fans probably feel right now with that.
A little relieved. Yeah. Then the Celtics also sold for $6.1 billion, which is the second largest outside the Lakers, who sold for $10.
I think Boston would burn to the ground if the Celtics ever left.
They're as old as you can get. Absolutely. Bill Russell age.
Absolutely.
Bob Cousy.
They take their sports very seriously. If we're talking major sports cities, Boston is number one in my opinion.
Yeah, a lot of championships out there in Boston.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what do you think? $6.1 billion.
That's crazy.
Just kind of insane.
Isn't it kind of crazy to think that there's people out there that not only have that much money, but have that much money to spend on like a sports team? Like, that's probably only just a small percentage of their net worth, whoever that
yeah.
is.
I'm sure it's they're crazy. Kind of like invested in all these stocks and they just yeah. sold their other stocks and bought the Celtics.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's just crazy how you can have that much
Absolutely.
Wealth. Kind of insane.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. Well, tell you what, things are heating up here in Provo. College football is like 2 weeks away.
I know. It's getting so close. Kind of getting chills, getting ready for
dude,
it.
Dude, it's hype. BYU, well, fall camp everywhere is underway. BYU's quarterback battle was getting pretty hot. I don't know how much you've been following it, but at the beginning of fall camp, BYU was running all three quarterbacks, Bear Bachmeyer, mm-hmm. Treyson Bourget, and McKay Hillstead. They were all getting equal reps with the first team, kind of like a quarterback battle. And then like a week ago, Aaron Roderick announced that it was McKay Hillstead and Bear Bachmeyer that were getting all the reps. And then now there was a report that came out yesterday from a reporter saying that it's looking like Bear Bachmeyer, true freshman, is going to be wow. the starter. And BYU won't announce that till game one, but it's crazy.
So it's still up in the air, you're saying?
It's not official, but BYU just doesn't announce. They don't like giving people that advantage of knowing who the quarterback's going to be, so they won't tell us, but that's crazy, though.
Dude, that I had no idea that he was like that good.
Yeah.
Because I thought he was going to come in, maybe redshirt.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
just learn the ropes, but maybe he's good enough. You think maybe he's good enough to like really be it?
I mean, I think I've been listening to a lot of things, and it's like, I think if it's close, like if it's McKay Hillstead, Baron Bachmeyer, and you can't decide, you have to go with the younger guy. Cause you're like it's just like, if they're like similar talent level, you want the guy that can play 4 years as a starter for you rather than just one
yeah.
year, you know?
Cause I don't know, is McKay Hillstead, is he like,
I think he's
close
a junior
or
senior, yeah.
So he could maybe have one more year.
Yeah, he was here last year, and he started 1 year for Utah State, so he's got to be at least a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And then his, apparently, Bear Bachmeyer's brother he's going to be one of our best receivers, Tiger Bachmeyer.
McKay Hillstead is a redshirt sophomore.
Oh.
So he could have two more years after this.
Too. Interesting. Yeah.
So,
I forget
I don't
with
know.
College football, it's like you got all the extra years, so it's weird. But
I guess if you play X number of games
yeah,
or less,
four, yeah.
then you can redshirt.
I guess he probably redshirted last year because he didn't play at all. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's exciting. It does bring up another question of, you know, we've talked about we have Ryder Lyons coming.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to serve a 1 year mission. That's what it sounds like. So he'll be here like in a year probably. And then it's like, and then if you have Bear Bachmeyer who's been balling out, and then you've got a crazy quarterback battle.
You got a five-star coming in, yeah.
A five-star with a four-star who already has 1 year of starting. You're like, oh, this is going to get interesting. So, and with the transfer portal, it's like players could transfer at any moment if they think
yeah.
they don't have an opportunity. So it's just crazy. It's wild.
I think it's a good problem to have if we end up having two quarterbacks next year. But yeah. We'll see. I hope, like you said, that maybe Bear Bachmeyer ends up winning the job just because, yeah. like, a true freshman quarterback would just be... I don't know if we've ever... Have we ever had that?
I don't... I think
not
somebody,
to my
I heard
knowledge.
Somebody say the other day that we haven't. I think we've had some redshirt freshmen, but never
that
true
would
freshman.
Be something, like, pretty unique and kind of
yeah.
cool to see if that happened this year.
Yeah.
And, of course, I think the offense is pretty good around the quarterbacks, right? Because we got Chase Roberts
yeah.
coming back. I think the offensive line is kind of new this year, so that
mm-hmm.
that's a little bit interesting to see how well they perform.
Yeah, allegedly Carson Ryan's looking really good, the tight end from Utah.
Oh, nice.
LJ Martin, and apparently Hinkley Rapati is fighting the NCAA for another year. He might get another year. So our running backs might be a pretty solid duo.
Yeah, yeah, maybe we might end up being a like running team,
yeah,
run first team.
Sione Moe will be here. We got some,
he was great last
some
year.
Dogs, so it's pretty exciting, honestly.
Yeah, who do you remember who else we got on receivers? Because Lassiter went to the NF NFL.
Yeah, I think we got JoJo Phillips.
Oh, right.
He'll be really good.
He had a couple pretty good catches last year.
There was a couple drops he had last year. Hopefully he can clean those up this year. There's another guy from transfer. I'm trying to remember his name. I don't think we'll be too bad at receiver. Honestly, Tiger Bachmeier will be a big help. Our running backs are not bad receivers either. Seems like they've got good hands.
We've got another Nakua, Tay Nakua.
Oh, that's right.
He's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Nakua's have done well for BYU.
Yeah, so. That's a name we like. Oh, and Parker Kingston, right?
Oh, I forgot about
him. He's coming back.
Yeah, he'll be a big part of the offense. He's just pretty small, but he's got good hands.
He's like our slot guy.
Yeah,
and
speed guy. Yeah.
Punt returner.
Yeah, I think Big 12 will be interesting too. As much as I hate to say it, I think Utah's going to be better this year. I think Devin Dampier is going to be. You got a lot more like consistency at quarterback than just this big question of Cam Rising. whether he's actually healthy or not.
Cam Rising honestly ruined their season last year.
Yeah, he did.
It's an injury, right?
Because I could see the Big 12 having like 4 or 5, 8 and 4 teams, and there being like some crazy tiebreakers for the championship games.
I mean, that's what happened last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if BYU goes 8 and 4 this year with a freshman quarterback or even just a sophomore quarterback who didn't expect to start this year, I think that would be best case scenario. So.
Do you think the Big 12 could get 2 playoff teams?
2 playoff teams?
Because I think the commissioner of Big 12 said that's their goal, is they want to try and get 2 playoff teams.
I think you'd have to have 2 10-win teams probably. And I think you could maybe get one in. But it would be tough.
Yeah, because I think you'd have to have, of course, one team would make it from winning the Big 12 championship.
Yeah.
But then you'd have to have another team that just beats other guys, other teams out just by how well their season was.
Yeah. It'd have to be like like last year with the ACC, where it was like SMU was the best team, but then they lost in the championship and they were like 11-1 or something.
Yeah, and then Clemson made it because they won the championship.
Yeah, so it would have to be, I think, like that probably. The weird thing about college football right now is like, I could go on for hours about college football, I won't, but I think the interesting thing is like this weird like idea of what conferences are good. I do think SEC and Big Ten are the best, but it's like, is it really better to have 2 teams who just dominate everybody? Does that make your conference better than a conference like the Big 12 who everybody's beating up on each other?
Yep.
But they all could be great teams. They're just beating each other.
Yeah, so, and it's hard to tell when like there's not as much like cross division games.
Yeah, exactly.
And like even if there's only 1 cross division game that you're like basing it off of, it's not enough to really know.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm with you on that.
Because sometimes I'm like, yes, Georgia and Alabama are better than everybody in the Big 12.
And
but,
like Ohio State and Oregon.
Yeah, but if you go down the line and you're like Arkansas, I think most teams in the Big 12 could compete against Arkansas.
Yeah.
And they're a good team, but like, it's like, I don't know if the whole SEC is better than the Big 12, but top teams are quite a bit better than the Big 12.
Yeah, and then Big 12, you could rattle off like 8 teams that are like maybe going to be contenders this year.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty wild. I'm so excited. College football is so awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz Podcast. Thanks for sticking with us throughout the summer and the off season. We're excited to see the Jazz as training camp comes and we start getting the first games of the season. Make sure to follow us on Spotify, Apple, YouTube, anywhere you can find a podcast, we're there. And leave us a rating and share with a friend. And we hope you take care.
Peace.